On Christmas Eve, 1968, Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and Bill Anders took turns reading from the early pages of Genesis. 240,000 miles and tethered to Earth by technology, humankind felt compelled to share something of the immensity of God. One in every four persons on Earth tuned in to the Apollo 8's broadcast. The same Earth upon which God chose to become a living, breathing human. 2,000 years earlier, it was just humble shepherds going about their day's business. But they too were well connected, mobile, and skilled in how to communicate fast and accurately. The shepherds acted upon an impulse of spirit in ways not unlike the Apollo 8 astronauts. Off they too went, full speed to Bethlehem. And they found a beautiful woman and her righteous husband with their newborn baby lying in straw, cuddled by domesticated animals, just as the angels had foretold. The facts told them checked out. But other than that, what could be the big deal? With crowds of people in town for the census, folks were probably sleeping in the rafters, and babies are, of course, born all the time. What the shepherds really discover is a working man wondering how he will provide and guide this boy to manhood. And they find the child's young mom thinking about all that God has done in her life and all that lay ahead. Concerns of nearly every new parent. All appears quite simple and humble until we learn more about who is this child. The Almighty, creator of the universe, reaching into the human experience, rebooting humankind to original relationship. The God of life, having always desired a special intimacy with humankind, becomes and experiences all that humanity experiences. Family life, school life, work life, community life, joy, disappointment, inclusion, and rejection. The entire human package. Why would an all-powerful and sovereign God orchestrate such a happening in such a way? Well, humankind had begun to cheat on its part of a covenant made with Abraham. People were becoming lawless, despite having been given God's ordinances through Moses. The voices of the prophets were silenced. Humankind was adrift, unconvinced of how deeply it has always been loved by God. With the birth of Jesus, God lays to rest, in absolute terms, any need for such doubt. The author of Luke, and again in Paul's pastoral letter to Titus, employs the word Savior to describe the work Jesus will engage. Indeed, our Lord will complete all the tasks involved with reconciling humankind to God, modeling at every turn original, pristine, designed relationship. Well, we might suppose the staining of divine human relationship by disobedience was the principal cause necessitating Jesus' birth. However, if we stop at that explanation, we risk imagining only the judging hand of God. We might even arrogantly suppose humankind's poor decisions and disobedience were somehow responsible for influencing and causing this reaction from God. Friends, it isn't human sin or immorality that will dictate or govern God's day, but instead, it is mercy, love, and a burning desire to be revealed to all creation. God willingly enters the human condition, not because it is bad or worthless, quite the contrary. It is because we are very good and that precious, as the book of Genesis also tells us. When we allow the immensity of God's humbling gesture to sink into the deep crevices of our being, our faith will surely follow our thinking, and our hearts will necessarily be turned to matters of love incarnate. Speaking recently to BBC Radio, Jim Lovell reflected on the Earthrise moment, saying, "When I looked out at Earth itself, I started to wonder why I was here. What's my purpose here? It sort of dawned on me," he said. "And my perspective is that God has given mankind a stage on which to perform. How the play turns out is up to us." Imagine God becoming an infant, being born not amongst kings and queens and high priests and other dignitaries, but instead before a few shepherds, ordinary townsfolk, and to a carpenter and his wife. Certainly, this must be the greatest hope humankind has ever had humbly communicated to it. What then are we to do with this fantastic and always current insight? Was this simply a cute story of days gone by? No, friends. If we truly believe these happenings, we must allow them to change our lives such that we are never the same again. Christians indeed re-celebrate this event with great joy. But Holy Mother Church asks us to check out, as did the shepherds, all that we have been told in the gospel. Approach God with haste. See Joseph, the righteous man. Maybe strive a little harder to become such. Look deeply into the heart of Mary and treasure each moment we spend aware of God in the presence of her Son. We should want to assemble often and to encounter in Holy Eucharist the enormity of God's love. And we should want to return to our families, co-workers, and communities, singing praises to our magnificent God, just as did the shepherds of Bethlehem on that glorious of nights. And similarly, all who explore the mysteries of heaven and earth. With my final words, I only want to say, Sonatapi, ito makatuikistukumi, bon natali, feliz navidad, joyeux noël et bon fête, dans le mot de notre Seigneur, l'épée de l'enfant Jésus-Christ, and Merry Christmas to all of you.